Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do? Now that my master is taking the position away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commanded the dishonest manager, because he had acted shrewdly. But the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you who have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was told this morning that some of you may not know the prayer I customarily say before my sermon. If you don't know, it's on page 288 in your hymnal. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Let's join together.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Amen. There is an Indian parable about a guru who had a star disciple. He was so impressed by his disciple's progress that he left him on his own, to live on his own. The disciple chose to live in a little mud hut. His only clothing was a loincloth, a small covering around his midsection. He literally lived hand to mouth, begging the villagers for food. Each week, this man took his only possession, the loincloth, and washed it and hung it out to dry. One day, he came out looking for his loincloth, and he found it had been torn, eaten by rats. Well, covering himself, he then went around to the villagers and begged that they might give him another one. So he got one, and the rats got that one as well. So he decided, "I know what I'll do. I'm going to get myself a cat." Well, the cat took care of the rat problem, but the cat created another one. The cat needed milk. So he begged for milk. Eventually, though, he decided, you know what would be better is to get enough money for a cow to feed the milk to the cat. And then he had to beg for hay to feed his cow. In order to feed his cow, he decided to till the plant and ground and around his hut, and soon he had no time for contemplation, which was his original desire, so he hired servants to take care of the farm. Overseeing all of this was quite the chore, so he got married so his wife could help him with the farm. The wife, well, she didn't like the mud hut, so the man grew more crops to buy a house. In time, the disciple became the richest man in the village. Years later, the guru returned and was shocked to see the simple mud hut had been replaced by a large palatial home surrounded by a vast estate worked by dozens of servants. "What is the meaning of this?" he asked the disciple. "You won't believe this, sir, but there was no other way I could keep my loincloth." The disciple relied on others. He begged, but eventually began to squirrel away all his riches. He became mastered by the very thing he set out to master. The flow from the fellow villagers who provided for his needs stopped eventually with him. And the symbol of his life of simplicity and discipline, the loincloth, became the very object that he used as a warrant for building and hoarding. Chad Myers of the Bartimaeus Cooperative Ministries, in his booklet, The Biblical Vision of Sabbath Economics, as well as his speaking ministry, speaks prophetically about the use of money. Myers would describe the principles for this, in which the dishonest manager is congratulated in terms of keeping money moving. Money is a resource so long as it is given to be spent, to be scattered, to be broadcasted, especially to provide for those in need and to release people from debt. The dishonest manager in this, despite his ulterior motive, demonstrates in spite of himself how money is to be used to serve people, not people used to serve money. Jesus' bold and baffling statement, "I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes," is not a license to make money illegally, but instead, I believe, to use it as a means in the world, to use the economies of the world to serve God, to love people even to the point of forfeiting possible monetary gains. This parable comes immediately after the parable of the prodigal son. In it, there is a linking word, squander. But that word can also mean, in the Greek, scatter. The movement in both of these parables is from squander to scatter. The father, the prodigal, scattered abundant mercy on that derelict son who was wasteful, who had squandered. The manager scattered abundant forgiveness on the debtors once the owner had accused him of squandering. I think a lesson here is that God takes our squandering and God transforms it into scattering for the sake of the kingdom. If we but realize that's what it's for. Jesus is saying faithful stewardship is not about squirreling away wealth, which leads to serving it, which I think is interesting. That final verse of this passage is often taken out of context. You cannot serve God in wealth. It's a truism, right? We've come to realize that, but we've divorced it from that preceding context. We divorced it from that idea that it's not either or. The serving is the key element. Wealth can be used. The disciple, the Indian disciple, the guru, saw that complexity. He didn't think of this could be this way and that way. He only saw it as wealth. Well, wealth binds me to this kind of life, this kind of living. But Jesus says, no. No, it doesn't. Because you can take the means of the world, you can take the mammon, you can take the wealth and use it to serve God. So forget my economics. It's time to invest in someone else's.
forget my household. It's time to think about other people's households. Time to scatter that which we have a tendency to squirrel away. Money should be kept moving. It's a time to take the overflow of God's abundant grace, to scatter it freely, to the end of making friends and to setting people free, just as God does with God's grace. Are we helping others to see a God whose grace is a love that does not calculate profit and losses? A God who does not hold people's debts against them, but whose forgiveness is meant to set everyone free and is a forgiveness that is intended for us to pass on to set our debtors free. We pray it every Sunday. Is it true for you? Is it true for me? One of the beautiful verses that we heard in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is in verse 4. It reads that God desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What could be more true than the fact that our God is not a quid pro quo, tit for tat, punitive God who exacts punishment for our mistakes, who punishes us for our squandering? But no. Our God is a God who scatters more love and more grace upon us in response to our need. God is our balm. God scatters on us more than we ever deserve, so that we can realize that. We can take that in, and then we can keep it moving. I think what Jesus is depicting here is a kind of grace flow. So often it is tempting to take grace upon ourselves and to relish in it and to squirrel it away in our souls and to say, thanks be to God for the grace I have received, for all the mistakes I made, for all the sins I've committed. God is loving and gracious to me. But when do we stop? At what point do we stop in the grace flow? When do we not extend that grace to others and that love? You see, the money in this passage isn't the main point. It's about living graciously. It's about living into that flow more fully. And it takes understanding, I think, to what we have been given. This manager, the steward, is another word for manager in the text. He is given charge over great things. He is given charge over the estate. And he realizes that. He realizes what there is to lose. He realizes what is to lose when he doesn't live out the grace. We keep it moving. Whether our means of grace is financial or physical or emotional or spiritual in nature, our job is to keep it moving. And I think as we keep that grace moving through us, we learn, friends. We learn to live more generously. Ultimately, we are more generous in our forgiveness. We are more generous with our praise and thanks of others. We are more generous, ultimately, with our money. And we realize that joy. At the end of this parable, that manager, dishonest manager, is commended. He celebrates. The owner celebrates. Our God does not celebrate dishonesty. Our God celebrates it when we live into the flow of God's grace, and we help others realize they are in it too. So this is our God, a God who invites us to be in that, who's already included us in that flow. Where are we stopping it today? Who don't we show it toward? I think everyone has someone. But you know what? God's grace is going to move through you all the time, and all you have to do is express it. All you have to do is share it. All you have to do is realize how much you have been given so that you realize how much you can give. Friends, it is a good day to think about these things. We enter into our stewardship campaign season. Our whole theme is about living graciously, because generosity, love, all these things flow from the grace of God, and we live graciously as we live into that flow. It's awesome. It's amazing. If we just realize it, if we just embrace it, we will experience life abundant that we could never have imagined. We will see changes around us we could have never imagined. And it's not about building up our estates. It's not about making us wealthy. It's not about protecting the loincloth. It's about a promoting a gracious love of God that knows no end, knows no boundaries, knows no limits, and it's all ours to experience. Do it this day. Find it. Find yourself in that flow today. Ask God to reveal where you are hung up on a rock, where you're stuck, and ask God to release you back into the flow. We can do it, friends. As Sarah is fond of saying in her benediction, it's all that easy, and it's all that hard, but it is all that fulfilling when we find it and we live into the flow. All praise, glory, and honor be unto the God who invites us into the flow of God's grace all the time, all without end, forever and ever. Amen.